Go ahead.
Here's a little song I wrote. I want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy.
Okay, anyone guess what the topic is? Don't worry. It's kind of hard to follow Peter's thing with this. But don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry about a thing. I love the Caribbean flavor of a Bob Marley. Because every little thing's going to be all right. We want, everyone in the world says, don't worry. And what's amazing is, these guys could almost be quoting Jesus. Because he's going to make that same statement to us in his word today. Now he's going to come at it from a very different perspective than they do. But he's going to say essentially the same thing. Now if I were going to ask people by a show of hands, how many of us worried about something this week? I'm not going to ask you to do that. I'd guess, if we're honest, every one of us would put our hands up. And as we get going, just a thought. What's your worry trigger? What are the things that cause you to worry? They may very likely be different than the neighbor next to you. I read an American poll. Do you know what the number one cause of worry is in the U.S.? Appearance. How we look. What we wear. Is my clothing fashionable enough? Is my hair going to be okay? Do I do the right makeup? Do I have the right physique? That's the number one worry in the U.S. Then you can go to things like having your credit card denied in public or an IRS audit. That's pretty timely right now. Public speaking. Our world is so different than many places of the world. You can be sure that Musa and the Nigerians and the, doesn't matter what religion you are, they're not worrying about how they look. They're worrying about if they have food for tomorrow, if they worry about anything, and they probably do. So what are your worry triggers? Just take a moment and think for a minute. What are your worry triggers? We're going to listen to Jesus, and just, I want you to know that as we pick up Jesus, it's going to begin with the words then, therefore. What we hear this week grows out of what he spoke about last week, which had to do with greed, seeking possessions rather than being rich towards God. And if you remember, I defined rich towards God as giving to kingdom work, like Peter, like PCOG, like other things. Supporting those who are in need, that's throughout the scripture. Taking care of our aging family and doing justice and mercy ministries. That's what Jesus means when he says, live rich towards God. Now with that as the background, beware of greed, seeking possessions, rather than living in a way that's rich towards God. We jump right into what Jesus says. He's been speaking to the crowds, and now he turns to his disciples. You're a disciple, so figure he's turning to you. And Jesus says to his disciples, and to use my theme word, on guard, he says. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If you've ever seen a field of flowers, wild flowers in the West, just magnificent. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's the picture. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And on guard, do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, my little flock, for the Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief can come near and no moth destroys. On guard, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This entire passage revolves around worry. And in particular, worry for those basic things, food, clothing, shelter, that kind of stuff. And I'm going to tell you, as a preacher, it's really tempting to become therapeutic at this point. I mean, you can go online and you can find 150 websites in 37 seconds that'll tell you, you know, 5 ways to stop worry, 10 ways to end worry, blah, 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 blah. But the problem is, if I'm going to follow Jesus' lead, he is not therapeutic at all. Jesus is diagnostic. This statement is like Dr. Jesus inviting you into his office. And he's going to prescribe some things going on. He's going to see some things going on in your life that have a deeper root and a bigger issue. Jesus diagnoses that worry is detrimental, not just to life. Science will tell you that. Any counselor in the world will tell you that. Jesus will tell you worry is detrimental to your faith life. And that's what he's about. And he dives straight in. Now, I'm the kind of person, I prefer a doctor to be straight with me. You know, if there's something going on, look me in the eye and tell me. And I've told you this 10 or 12 years ago, my doctor looked me in the eye and he said, you know, you got one problem, not only one. But he said, you have a major problem. Each year you come in, your weight increases by 5 or 8 pounds. He said, this is the 3rd or 4th year in a row, and if this continues, you have a major health issue on your hand. And I was so thankful he was straight and he was direct. I knew it, but I needed to hear that. And he shared some of the reasons it could be a problem, and then he left it to me. Well, Dr. Jesus is going to look straight at us and he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body and what you will wear. And then verse 29, he says, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. Stop worrying. That's Jesus' word. Because if you peel back the original language and look at how he says it, what he's saying to people is basically, I know you're worrying. I get it. Stop worrying. Continually look at your life. Be on guard against worry because it is detrimental to your faith life. Worry, when we bring it into the English language, comes from the word to choke or to strangle. And worry not only chokes and strangles life, it chokes and strangles faith life. It is not a spiritual gift to worry. It is an enemy gift to worry. And we're all over the map in terms of our life and worry. He says, stop. And the passage, taken as a unit, communicates to us that a disciple's relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, should add a dimension to our lives that allows us not to worry. You know what worry is? It's that constant, incessant dwelling about something. You felt the choke of worry. Am I going to get that job? Am I going to have enough? Am I going to be okay? You felt that debilitating nervousness about something you did, or more likely, something you could have done, that voice, or something that's going to happen in the future. Oh no. Worry gives us sleepless nights and fruitless days. Worry's like a constant companion. Unfortunately, it's a constant companion that sucks the life out of us, and it sucks the faith right out of us. And what drives Jesus to confront this danger of worry? Three things. First thing he says is, stop worrying because there is more to life than food and more to the body than clothes. Despite our American infatuation with appearance. It's not appearance that gives life to life. Do you know what gives life to life? Relationships. Relationships with God through faith in Jesus and relationships with other people. Do you remember when the guy came up to Jesus and he said, sum up the Old Testament for me. What did Jesus say? What? Love the Lord your God with everything, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the essence of life. And when we worry, it chokes out those things, because now I'm focused on me. Am I going to have? Am I going to be? And I'm disconnecting myself, frankly, from those things that can help me if I'm really in trouble too. The wonder of part of that story of Musa was all those people coming. They saw something in him. See, I think the call to love is tied in here. And I'm pretty certain that's exactly what Jesus is saying when there's more to life than. The people I have the closest relationships with, they don't care if my dew is good that day or whether I have bedhead. They care about me. They don't care if I have fashionable clothing, good thing. They care about me. The real me. And that's the stuff of real life. And that's what Jesus is saying here. There's more to life than daily needs. Yeah, I know they're important, but there's more to life than whether you eat carbs all day or you can eat a really nice balanced diet here back home. There's more to life. Number two. Frankly, Jesus says worry's impotent to help. And we all know that. You can read 1,000 pieces of literature that will tell you that. Who of you by worrying can add 1 single hour to your life? Truth is, if you keep worrying, you're going to just be cutting hours off your life. Worry is useless. Worry increases blood pressure. It robs us of rest and sleep. It keeps us awake at night. It steals from us productivity when we are awake. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of sorrows. It empties today of strength. The Surgeon General should put a warning on worry, you know. Worry is hazardous to your health. It doesn't accomplish one positive thing. You can't add an hour to your life. You can't add an inch to your stature. You can't add 5 hairs to your head by worry. It's not going to happen. Someone said, worry is like the rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Remember that image of worry being the things that choke. Now, this is Dr. Jesus. I mean, this isn't fun stuff. He's not really telling us how to get past worry. He's just looking us in the eye and he's saying, you know, Bill, if you keep that weight on, you got diabetes you got to worry about. You got heart issues you got to worry about. This is Jesus looking us straight in the eye. And third, he says, by the way, God cares for you and provides for you. Your Father knows what that you need them, verse 30. And it's at this point we come really to the heart or the crux of the diagnosis for Jesus. Worry is the presenting issue. It's the behavior that needs to be addressed. But the underlying issue, folks, about worry is trust. Trust in God. Trust that God really cares for you. Trust that God cares for your kid that you're worrying about. And Jesus illustrates that two ways. He talks about the ravens. And by the way, ravens were unclean birds in Jewish tradition. They were good for nothing. You couldn't use them for a sacrifice. You couldn't eat them. You couldn't do anything. They were about the worthless of the worthless. And Jesus compares us to ravens and he says, God takes care of even this worthless bird. How much more you? And then he talks about the grass of the fields. And, you know, we live in New England. Grass springs up and it's dead. He says, how much more important are you? Jesus' point is that God provides for the ravens. God clothes the grasses. Is he not going to take care of us? The real question we all have to worry with about it, or deal with is, wrestle with is, do we trust God for these basic needs? By the way, biblically, the opposite of worry is trust. Think about that. The opposite of worry is trust. And the presenting issue of Jesus, the real heart issue of Jesus, is are we trusting God with our lives? If you think about worry diagnostically, it's like the thermometer or any other tools that the doctor can use, the stethoscope. You know, one of the first things doctors do is they stick that thing in your mouth, or now they use the ear. Isn't that nice? You know, it gives doctors a clue. If I have elevated temperature, something's going on, probably an infection, but something's going on in the human body. I want you to think about worry as a diagnostic tool from Dr. Jesus. When you are worrying, something is going on in your life. And that something is that God is exposing an area where you are not able to trust God. The things we worry about are precisely the things we do not trust God to handle. Does that mean we don't have to do anything? No. You ever seen a lazy bird? You know, we have bird feeders. We love to have bird feeders. And those little things are constantly busy. They're doing what they have to do. This isn't a license to lay on the couch and, you know, I don't have to worry. It's not the Caribbean life worry. It's not what Bob Marley's talking about. But worry as a diagnosis is God saying, here's something you don't trust me to handle. For a disciple, the heart of the matter for God is trust. And trusting God, with whom we have a relationship, that He will provide the needs we need for life. God will give us everything we need to do what He wants us to do. So worry is that diagnostic tool. And the prescription is to go to the doctor, Jesus, and say, wow, you have exposed something in my life. And as you talk with your doctor, Jesus, He'll help you through that. Now, one just final comment. I want you to think about all the time you worry, how much energy it takes from you. Just imagine now that time and that energy is now released to do something else. What do you do with that something else? Well, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you as well. All that time you use for worrying, all that energy it sucks out of your life, when God gives that back to you as you learn to release worry, seek God and let Him show you where to use that time and energy for kingdom matters. I was walking in the sanctuary and I was listening to the band this morning and I came in and I just sat for a little while and just had a little private worship time. And the band started playing that final song that we sang and it hit me. That's our closing prayer for the message. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Would you stand and let's use that as our prayer to Jesus about the things that cause us to worry.
I believe in you. I believe you. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe in you. I believe you, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, like the wind tossed earth, all the waves of doubt, but come now, to the great I am. I believe in you, I believe you, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, Lord, you are the Christ, promised one of God, where else can I go? Yours are words of life. I believe in you. I believe you. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe in you. I believe. I believe.
our unbelief, we pray. Amen.